bringing us this, we're calling it the Next Gen Young Preacher Series, and she preached, and she's talking about Moses, and my honesty is in that at the beginning of probably my teaching career 5 years ago, I had little hope for this generation, for this next generation coming up. And spending a couple years in the school system for the county and then up in Stockton at Cesar Chavez High School and being in the classroom with, you know, 30 to 40 students every hour really made me cry out that this next generation is lost. And I was like, there's no hope. I really didn't have much hope for what God was going to do in this next generation because I saw them tuned out. I saw them on their phones all day long, having zero care for anything else around them. But then something happened this last year that made me go, you know what? My perspective has changed. And it was at the Asbury Revival this last year when I noticed that the next generation isn't tuned out. They're not checked out. They're not fleeing from Christianity or religion or Jesus. They actually are just desiring something different than what we are offering them. The way that we have done church in America for the last 100 years is different than what this next generation really wants. And what the next generation really wants that we can offer to them is authenticity. Is real, honest, deep relationships, and they want to be asked questions that mean something. They want to be told about how Jesus is relative to their life authentically and in reality. Right? It's not that they don't like the show that church can put on. Like some of that is intriguing, it's enticing, it can be attractive. But in reality, they want depth. They want us to ask them questions. I wanted to preach this message this week because I knew our youth weren't going to be here, right? Most of our youth, they've gone up to camp, and they're not here with us today. So those of us that are here today that didn't go up to camp aren't experiencing a camp experience this week. Right, we remain, and I want us to remain to be ready for when they come back. Because when they come back, right, our youth, our children, they're going to be full of excitement. They're going to be passionate about what God is doing in their lives. I can guarantee you that this week, God is going to show up in their lives because they're putting all the distractions of their life away. Phones don't work up on the mountaintop. There is no social media. There is no TV. There is no parents. Well, for most of them. Right? There's no chores. There's no schoolwork. There's all these things that tend to get in the way of our relationship with God. They're leaving it down here, and they're saying, I'm going to go meet with him. And whenever we do that, us included, whenever we leave the things of this world behind and pursue Jesus, he is faithful to show up, and he will. And so he is meeting with them this week up on the mountaintop. I wanted to talk about this term today. Let me see if my clicker here is working. Oh, it was off, that's why. All right, discipleship. It's a term we throw around in the church a lot. But what does it mean? To put a picture to it, some people describe it like this. It's as if we're watering the plant, right? We as mature believers or more seasoned believers in Jesus, if you've been following Jesus for any length of time, right? If you know the truth of who Jesus is, one of our responsibilities as a mature believer in Christ is to raise up someone else, right? Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Right? He's saying, as I follow Christ, bring other people along with you so that they can see how to grow up in the faith. You move from drinking pure spiritual milk into eating a solid meat, eating solid things of Christ. Right? So it can be a picture like this. Others might look at it like this. As we're going through the journey of life together, We are helping pull someone up, right? It's this image of, I've gone there, I've experienced the things of Christ in this way, now come along with me. Let me show you how to experience Christ through prayer. Let me teach you through the Word of God what it means to be a follower of Christ. Let me help you overcome the hurdles when someone has been hurt, injured, lost, passed away. Let me explain to you what it means to have comfort in Christ. When we're broken, when we're beaten down, when we've lost our jobs and we're in need, when we get, you know, hurt and we're physically ill or we need God. Here, let me show you how to trust in Him. Right? This next one is the one that I think discipleship looks the most like. Okay? It's a little bit of both. In reality, right, discipleship is not easy. It's ugly, it's hard, it's messy. Sometimes you get hurt because they're going to be jumping on your back, crawling on top of you, trying to get to the next level, and they're going to dig into your skin. They're going to get underneath your skin, especially if you have children, right? They're going to annoy you. Some people, right, are what I've heard them described as needing their EGRs, extra grace required, right? Because some people are harder to handle than others. Not everybody in the church is going to be your best friend. Not every disciple of yours is going to look exactly like you. Not every child of yours is going to be your favorite to handle or to hang out with or to play with. But we as a church have a responsibility to care for them, to love them, to bring them in, to show them the way of Christ. Okay? When we think specifically of our children in this church, our children, our grandchildren, our neighbor kids, our friends, our nephews, our nieces, our friends' kids, right? We as a church have a responsibility to raise them up to some level of spiritual maturity and depth in their own walk. For those of you that have kids that might be getting older, or you're starting to think about when they would leave the nest and you experience an empty nest in some way, there's two extreme approaches that we kind of have in parenting, right? And if you're not a parent, this can apply for you as well. As you watch these children and you become spiritual mothers and fathers and spiritual friends and sisters and brothers of the children in our church and in our neighborhood, the two extremes. One is, I looked this one up because I didn't know who it was, Dr. Huxtable from The Cosby Show. You ever seen that? Okay. His idea, in The Bill Cosby Show, right, his idea was, huh? Thank you. Because I don't know who it is. I watch other shows. But the example of Dr. Huxtable is that he would raise the kids up so that he could send them out. Right? One of my favorite theologians is Francis Chan. And I remember listening to a sermon from him where he says, by the time they're 18, my goal is that they would be able to stand on their own two feet. Right? That they would be able to make it in the world, to trust in Jesus, to take steps of faith into the world and live on their own and be on their own so that they can get out of my house and go do it. That's one approach. Okay? The next approach is the failure to launch approach, and I've seen that movie. Okay? Failure to launch, that's the extreme of a son or a daughter that never really gets the point of being ready to go. Right? We live in a day and age where, especially in California, it's really hard to financially get our kids to that point where by the time they're 18, they're financially ready to go out on their own. Right? So we see much more of the failure to launch, to strive and live on their own, because they can't sufficiently provide for themselves yet. And a lot of times, if they do take off when they're 18 or 19, they end up coming back until they're later. Until we did that. We did that a couple times, actually, because 2008 hit, economy fell, all that stuff. All kinds of circumstances can happen where we got to trust and provide and lean on the church and family to provide all that we need. So here's the deal. From a spiritual perspective, our kids are never going to be 100% ready. They're never going to be 100% ready. I don't even know if I'm 100% ready yet. I'm going to be 38 next week. Right? The world will come rushing in, and there's going to be things that set us up, they trip us up. It's a guarantee. There's going to be hard things that come into our lives. But we, as spiritual parents and fathers and mothers and sisters and brothers, are here to teach our children, the next generation, how to overcome those things in the strength of Christ. That is the goal. And when we look at the Old Testament, the patriarchs, they were given the promise before ever going into the promised land. Okay, they didn't even experience what was on the other side of this wall. I want to talk about today about three things that we're trying to accomplish in discipling our next generation. I was asking Todd last night, trying to get some information for this morning about how have you seen your mom and I leading you or growing you? Like, what things have we taught you? If you don't know my son, he's 10 years old and he's a character. Is he sitting back there somewhere? Yeah. He's back there in the booth learning the ropes. And one of the things he said was, you taught me how to eat healthy. And I was like, that doesn't sound like me. That was my wife for sure. He said, you taught me how to be honest. He said, when you say that you're going to do something, you should do it. I said, all right, that's good, buddy. And I was like, what about something spiritual? Todd, are you back there? There he is. Todd, what else is something that we taught you spiritually? I put you on the spot, huh? I'm sorry, he's shy. Okay, I'll just say it for him. Okay, spiritually, he said, well, you sit down and you pray with us every night before we go to bed. For me, if I can develop a relationship of prayer in my children, where they know God, where they're talking with Him and He's talking to me, if God and my son have a conversation, I don't need to be there. If he learns how to communicate with his heavenly Father, there's great comfort in knowing that if I were to not be here, he'd be okay. Right? As much as we hate to think about the concept, death is guaranteed. We will all pass from this life at some point. Our goal as disciple makers is to get our children or our disciples to a place where they're hearing from God directly. This is the beauty of Christianity. This is one of the core values of this church. You don't have to hear God from me. I'm just a pastor. I'm just a man. My voice is one that only comes through the things that I'm reading in this book. I'm just a communicator of the gospel of truth. The gospel of truth is that Jesus Christ came down to earth, died on a cross, rose from a grave so that you can have a conversation with God. And you don't need me. And you don't need others. You need us to show you how to do that, because just as we're babies, we have to learn how to walk. We have to learn how to run. That's our part in it. But the communication part, once it's established and you've learned how to communicate with God, you now have a relationship as a son and daughter of the living Christ. A mediator is no longer needed. In fact, a lot of our churches have been built on this foundation that the pastor has to speak the truth to you every week, and if you don't go to church on Sunday, you're not going to hear from him. Bunk. That's a lie straight from hell. You don't have to go through another person to communicate with God. He came so that you could have a personal, intimate relationship with God Himself. That's what it means to follow Christ. So the first thing we have to do is set good patterns. Develop a routine, a discipline of prayer, of reading the scriptures, of seeking out God, of praise and worship. For us, the set good pattern oftentimes is Sunday mornings. That is why we meet on Sunday mornings. And I know we debated this last year, and we came to the conclusion, right, when there was a proposal set out that maybe we meet every other week, and we said, no, that's not what we want. We want to meet every week because it sets a good pattern in our life of gathering together as a congregation to praise God together. This is a set good pattern. Psalm 78. Verses 4, 6, and 7 says, "We will not hide them from their children, but to tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and His might and the wonders that He has done, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children so that they should set their hope in God." Parents, by bringing your children to church, it's not the end-all of end-alls. It's not the most strictest of disciplines. It's not mandatory. You don't have to be here. But it does set the good pattern so that they can hear weekly the goodness of God. They can hear the stories in their Sunday school rooms about how God delivered the Israelites out of the wilderness, about how God spoke and healed the blind man, about how God spit in the mud and rubbed it on a guy's eyes and he could see, how He touched the crippled beggar and he stood and he could stand, how Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave, and how we have hope and that He's coming back again. All of the stories that we learned throughout our childhood by being in Sunday school have developed a set good pattern so that a child would continue in their faith when they leave from your house. One of the difficult things we've done in church, especially because, and this is just to be honest, I've been in a mega church. I've been in multiple churches around the nation. And oftentimes what happens is we develop this siloed ministry where these youth children, they'll go to these fun activities apart from a church service. And they'll think that it's all about fun and games and playing capture the flag and hide and seek, which are good. But there's also got to be that point where they're coming in and they're seeing us as adults worship Jesus and praying with us, and coming up here and sitting on a chair and preaching to us, right? If it doesn't start now, when does it start? If they don't develop the habit now of testifying that God is good in their lives, when does it ever start? It doesn't start unless we give them the opportunity to grow up in the faith. We, as an older generation, right? We're older than this high, well, most of us, KB, or older than this high, we have a responsibility to allow our children to take the stage, to worship, to testify that God is good. If you're past that stage, the next one is that parenting doesn't stop when they leave the nest. Oftentimes we think that we get them to the age of 18 and then we can stop parenting because we taught them everything that we need. It doesn't. I've been in youth ministry long enough to know that transitioning age from 18 to 20 is one of the most difficult years of a parent-child relationship, because the 18 to 20-year-old thinks that they are now completely on their own and they don't need mom and dad anymore. Mom and dad think, get out of my house. Or, yes, you're still my child, but they're not a child anymore. They're an adult, semi-adult. And this is what the scripture says about that. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. If you continue to read throughout that verse, it's a prayer over your kids as they grow older. We never stop being kids to our parents. Our relationships change. When it says, honor your father and mother in the Lord, honoring your father takes three different stages. Right? The first one is honor in the sense that you listen and obey. Right? When we're kids, we're little kids, we got our little ones in there. When we're saying honor your father and mother in the Lord, honor means that when your mom says, don't touch that stove, it's hot, you say, okay, mom. And when we teach them not to draw on the walls because I don't want to have to repaint it, right? It's, yes, mom, yes, dad. You honor your parents by being obedient to them. As you grow older, my daughter's just about getting to that age, 12, 13 years old, where honoring your parents starts to shift a little bit. Over that age of adolescence from 12 to 26, some of them vary, right? Honor takes the stage of respect, right? When I was 22 years old and I just graduated college, I wasn't calling my mom saying, hey, mom, can I stay out till 2 o'clock in the morning? I wasn't asking for permission, but I still honored my mom by saying, hey, it's Mother's Day. I'm going to send her a gift. I want to respect her. If my mom said, hey, I don't think it's a great idea to take this job over here, I'm going to respect her input. I'm going to listen to her. I might not go that same direction, but I'm going to listen to her and respect her input, her guidance. And then as we get older and our parents get older, for those of us that may be middle-aged, have parents who are getting to an elderly state, not old, but elderly, we honor our parents in a different way. We say, my dad is wise. My dad knows. He gives me wise counsel. I'll call my dad when I need something fixed on the house because I know that he understands. I can honor my father by putting things up in remembrance of him. I can honor my mother by having good manners at the dinner table, teaching them to my kids. Right? It's passed down from generation to generation. Showing my mom honor is teaching honor in my children. So it changes as we get older. It scares me, however, to think that my daughter might not be ready by the time she's 18. So I'm going to do everything I can, or my son, to do everything I can to raise them in the ways of the Lord as they are under my household. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Lastly, your best legacy is a child who pursues Christ. I've heard some people say, don't do that, you're going to ruin your father's legacy. Don't be like that, you're going to ruin your father's image. The biblical verse is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. I know it's easy to look at our kids in a level of success in the terms of worldly success. Yes, I want my child to grow up and be successful. I want them both to get good jobs, to marry well, to have children that are obedient and kind. I want them to experience life and be respected amongst their friends and the ones that they work with. But more importantly than all of that, I want them to know Jesus. And I want them to pursue Christ. That is the goal, to know your kids grew up in a Christian home and then moved on to continue raising kids in Christ's way, in the way of Christ, is a blessing that nothing else compares to. Right? I pray for my kids every day that they would continue to walk in the ways of the Lord. This won't play out for another 20 years. Right? I won't get to see this happen for another 20 years, but for some of you, you've gotten to see this now. And for those that I've talked to that have older children, right? They praise the Lord for seeing their children continue in the faith as they get older, and raising children in the church is the biggest joy that someone can experience. To wrap this up, Joel chapter 1, verse 3 says, "Tell your children of it, and let your children tell their children and their children to another generation." I want us as, this is one of the things we talked about at our board retreat. We as a church want to be family-centric. We want things to be happening in the church that revolve around the family, where older generations are combining with younger generations, where discipleship is happening, where we've been becomes a testimony for those that are coming after us. To the way that I've phrased it here was that our ceiling would become their floor. That as we pursue God, the higher that we get to pursue God, the deeper that we go in knowing who Christ is, becomes just the floor at which our children will experience. That as we build up this relationship with Christ, it becomes all that more important for us to pursue Christ in our own personal life, because our children are going to build upon where we've been, so that we can tell our children, and they can tell their children, and they can tell their children after that, that God may be glorified from generation to generation. If you guys would, could you join me in prayer as the worship team comes back up and we close out the service? Father, I want to know you. I deeply, deeply want to know you. I am not enough unless you come. The house that I am building, the children that I am raising, the children in this church that are being raised under your guidance of the church, the youth that are continually growing and getting older and becoming more and more mature in their faith with you, God, this house of the Lord, as we're building this house of the Lord deeply in the spiritual roots of Christ, may we go to such a depth that our children could stand upon it, that they could stand upon us like that image as they're scratching and crawling, trying to get to the top of the wall, that our children would be able to crawl on top of us, biting, scratching, and screaming, trying to get to a level of spirituality where they know you so deeply and intimately, God, that we could be disciple makers of the next generation. God, I pray that this church would be one that could be used for the children and the next generation to stand on, knowing that we are firmly rooted in the Word of God and in a relationship through the Holy Spirit with Christ, the King. God, may our hearts reflect that as we turn them back to song for you. In your name, amen.